This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Just a few years ago, childhood vaccines were a settled matter, and West Virginia was often held up as the ideal for other states to follow. That may be changing, and some are pushing back.
And it was an encouragement to the governor to veto this bill, as it is not good for the health of West Virginia children.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Governor Jim Justice has been named in a new lawsuit involving multiple banks and claims on two properties adjacent to his Greenbrier Resort. Curtis Tate has more.
First Guaranty Bank of Hammond, Louisiana, filed a complaint in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of West Virginia last week against People's Bank of Marietta, Ohio. The complaint also names as defendants Carter Bank, the Virginia lender that's one of Justice's biggest creditors, three additional West Virginia banks, the Greenbrier Hotel Corporation, the Greenbrier Medical Institute, Justice, and the Justice Family Group. First Guaranty seeks to restore its claim to liens on two properties in Greenbrier County, the Old White Lot and Cates Mountain, totaling more than 2,800 acres. The properties were collateral for a $6 million loan made by a predecessor of People's Bank, Premier Bank of Ravenswood. First Guaranty alleges that People's Bank prepared a document in 2022 without First Guaranty's knowledge, stating that the loan had been paid in full and releasing the liens on the properties. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
The West Virginia Department of Education plans to hold school safety conferences for educators and administrators this spring. Chris Schultz has more.
The one-day conferences are still in the planning phases and dates have not been finalized, but the sessions are scheduled for May in Lewisburg, Romney, Wheeling, and Charleston. The regional conferences will bring together county and school administrators, as well as school safety personnel, to share administrative updates that are important during a crisis event. Topics include updates on how plans are submitted in the state system and the coding of student data. The FBI will offer insights on local, regional, and national issues facing schools and school-aged children, and the Office of Homeland Security will brief attendees on its work with communities and schools. The Department of Education regularly holds regional training conferences, such as to prepare schools for the implementation of the Third Grade Success Act. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
Concord University will be one of two places in the world to have a certain type of X-ray diffracting crystal. Brianna Heaney has the story.
The manufactured crystal is capable of capturing invisible light wavelengths, known as X-rays, to determine the chemical makeup of certain materials. Stephen Keane, an associate professor of geology and earth science, says that oftentimes the rays of light given off by different materials mix and become muddled, making it hard to determine the different elements. He says this technology could be useful to industries that depend on sourcing rare earth elements.
People are looking for trying to develop sources of those, and if we're able to measure them better in source materials, that can help.
This crystal is used as part of an electron microscope and can collect information from the tiniest pinpoints, as small as 1/1000th of a millimeter. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brianna Heaney in Charleston.
The West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection is taking applications for a new round of federal mine reclamation funding. The funding is available through the Abandoned Mine Lands Economic Revitalization Program, which has brought more than $200 million for economic development projects in the state's coal fields since 2016. Last year, 10 projects received $30 million in AMLR funds. Projects must be located on or near mines that ceased operations prior to the enactment of federal mine reclamation law in 1977. Guidelines for project eligibility are available on DEP's AMLR website. The Federal Office of Surface Mining, Reclamation, and Enforcement must approve any awards. An advisory committee, including DEP, the Departments of Commerce, Tourism, and Transportation, and the Governor's Office, will review each application. Completed applications are due by Friday, May 31st. A bill Governor Jim Justice vetoed last week would have helped fund research to treat Alzheimer's disease, substance use disorder, and more. Randy Yowie has the story.
Both the House and Senate unanimously passed House Bill 5014 that would have made a $2 million supplemental appropriation to support research at West Virginia University's Rockefeller Neuroscience Institute. During the session, House Speaker Roger Hanshaw, a Republican from Clay County, took a rare occasion to speak directly to the bill. He spoke of the WVU neurology team using ultrasound technology to go beyond just treating neurological disorders of many kinds.
They have effectively cured Parkinson's, Alzheimer's disease, and opioid addiction. They now have in hand FDA clearance to extend their clinical trial beyond Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and opioid addiction to PTSD, specifically targeted veteran populations, and obesity.
In explaining his veto, Justice said in a letter to the House and Senate, the appropriation had little funding context or direction. He said the bill language was ambiguous, and with budget questions remaining, the state needs to be prudent. Delegate Mike Pushkin, a Democrat from Kanawha County and West Virginia Democratic Party chairman, says there was no ambiguity.
134 members of the legislature knew exactly what we were voting on. The work that has been done up at WVU has received national attention. It's something that we should completely support, not veto. And this is the same governor who was so willingly gave $10 million to build a baseball park. It's just beyond comprehension.
It's too late to override the veto. Justice said the WVU appropriation may be considered during an upcoming special legislative session. Pushkin says it's likely that's what will happen. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Randy Yowie in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Partly sunny and breezy today. High temperatures in the 40s and 50s. There is an increased fire danger today. A combination of dry vegetation, low humidity, and gusty wind will result in an increased danger of fire start and spread today. Please exercise caution if handling open flames. Increasing cloudiness tonight with lows in the 30s. Partly sunny and breezy tomorrow with highs in the 40s and 50s. Support for WVPB is provided by Dutch Miller Subaru in Charleston. Dutch Miller Automotive is proud to be dedicated to multiple community service initiatives and local charities. More about our team and the Subaru Love Promise at DutchMillerSubaru.com. West Virginia is a state that has long been a standard bearer for vaccination rates across the country, has passed a law to loosen restrictions for certain students in the state. But the law has one final hurdle to clear before it's implemented. Emily Rice has more.
With chagrin from some lawmakers and celebration from others, House Bill 5105 passed both chambers of the West Virginia legislature during its final hours. If approved by Governor Jim Justice, the bill would allow private and parochial schools to develop their own immunization policies and be provided legal immunity for those policies. The bill would also allow vaccine exemptions for students attending virtual public schools. However, students who participate in in-person classes or state-sponsored activities like sports would still be required to be vaccinated. Statewide, healthcare professionals are calling on Justice to veto the bill. Dr. Stephen Eschenauer, the health officer for the Kanawha Charleston Health Department, wrote a statement following the passage of the bill. He also testified before the Senate Health Committee.
The statement is related to how and what my response is as a public health officer concerning House Bill 5105, and it was an encouragement to the governor to veto this bill as it is not good for the health of West Virginia children.
As law currently stands, West Virginia is one of five states in the country that allows only medical exemptions, not religious or philosophical exemptions, to vaccine requirements for public schools.
We knew very early on that it was imperative that you have what's called herd immunity. That is to achieve at least 95% vaccination rate to control diseases such as measles, mumps, and polio. Our lawmakers, many years ago, they experienced the ravages of these diseases. They saw these diseases in their families, in their communities, and wanted to protect future generations. Thus, these laws were passed.
Eschenauer said maintaining herd immunity protects those who cannot be immunized for medical reasons, which is a very small number.
Once we allow other potential exemptions from those laws, then you're going to see a drop, as we have seen in other states, in the total number of children, the percentage that have been immunized, opening the door for these diseases to return to our communities.
Dr. Lisa Costello, a pediatric hospitalist at WVU Medicine Children's Hospital, also testified before the Senate Health Committee about the bill. She said she has personally reached out to Justice, urging him to veto the bill.
Healthcare leaders are urging the governor to veto this bill because we know the impact that it will have on children and really our larger community, because immunizations work best when we have high immunization rates in a community. And so we're protecting children, and we're also protecting the most vulnerable among us, pregnant people, the elderly, people with weakened immune systems. So yes, healthcare leaders are urging the governor to veto this bill.
As a parent, Costello feels especially passionate about the issue of school age vaccination and said her daughter is an example of why older children might need to be vaccinated in order to protect younger children who are not eligible for all their vaccines yet.
I have a 2-year-old who is going to be starting Catholic school this fall. I'm currently in the process of going through the enrollment where I myself have to submit my daughter's immunization records. And my husband and I have chosen to keep our daughter up to date. And she's been given, you know, followed the schedule to receive her immunizations. However, she's only 2, so she's not yet able to complete the full series.
Costello said she and many of her colleagues have never had to treat a child with measles or polio, and that is enough evidence that vaccination is effective.
We can't say that everywhere across the country, because we're seeing measles outbreaks happen right now. There's a lot of education going on about trying to get information to healthcare providers about what to look for with measles and how to provide supportive treatment for a case, because many of us have not seen that because of high immunization rates. We were able to keep these diseases out of our community. Unfortunately, we're seeing immunizations rates decline nationally, and we've seen additional cases of measles already. There's over 40 cases this year already.
Costello said West Virginia has been the gold standard practice because there is only a medical exemption to vaccination.
I think that's one of the concerning things about this particular bill, is that it allows different populations to completely opt out of requirements at all. So we're not even talking about exemptions out of requirements. We're talking about not having requirements at all, which is concerning with this particular legislation.
On March 14th, the American Academy of Pediatrics and its West Virginia chapter wrote a letter to Justice urging him to veto House Bill 5105 and, quote, protect West Virginia's children and the public at large from preventable illnesses. A representative for Governor Justice did not reply to a request for comment by West Virginia Public Broadcasting. However, the governor said during his regular press briefing on March 15th that he is not sure whether or not he will sign the bill, citing concerns about personal freedom but weighing the consequences. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Emily Rice in Charleston.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Randy Yowie. Eric Douglas is our news director, and he produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.